Well, welcome to Sunday service here, May 3rd, 2020, in this strange and weird time we're in. You're probably looking for Tony, and he had to leave town real quick for something, and so we'll pray for him in a minute, but you have me for the time being, and I hope you'll be blessed by today's study. Now, we are going to do communion. It is the first Sunday of the month, and so we're going to partake of that, and it's going to be a little bit bumpy because of the situation that we're in. You'll have the opportunity to stop the video and get your bread and wine there, and we'll take communion together at that time. Also, before I get started, if you have any spiritual needs or physical needs, whatever, please call the church, and we can come and try to provide you with some assistance. Just let us know how we can bless you that way. Call the church phone office, and we will do what we can. And other than that, we'll get ready here to go. So if you would, open up your Bibles to Mark 13:28, and we will pray. Let's pray. Father God, we just give this time to you, Lord, to speak to our hearts, especially in a strange time that we're in these last days. And I pray that this message would be encouraging to all that hear it. I pray that there would be conviction in the Spirit, Lord, by this Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts, to do what we need to do in these times. And I pray now, Lord, that you would bless this message in Jesus' name. So the title of today's study is, What Should I Be Doing Now? And, you know, at this current time and circumstances, you might be wondering, Lord, what is going on? This is the strangest time in history. In fact, there's more going on right now. This coronavirus thing is affecting the entire world, whereas when you look at World War II and I, it didn't affect the whole world like this is affecting the whole world. And so some might be even thinking, you know, are we in the tribulation? And of course, here at Calvary Chapel, we don't believe the church will be here during that time of the tribulation, that last 7 years, where God is judging the world and where he's drawing Israel to himself. But what am I supposed to be doing right now under this quarantine? What can I be doing for the Lord? And I want you to be thinking about that as we go through this study. Now, and I do want you to know that we still have a purpose. That's why we're here. And when our purpose is complete, the Lord will call us home, whether that's individually or corporately. When we're finished with God's mission, his program, we're going to be called home. And so, but while we're still here, we have purpose, and I want you to know that. We still have work to do for the King. There's still opportunities to be a witness for Jesus Christ during these times, even though we're locked away from each other. So be thinking about and praying about how you might be able to work in these last days in this time. And again, it's an incredibly dark time for the whole world. But I want to encourage you with these words from the book of Esther. If you recall in that book, there was the story of Esther, who she was Jewish secretly, but she had been chosen to basically become the bride of the king, or the queen of King Ahasuerus' empire there. And if you remember the story, there was an evil man named Haman, and he had a plan to destroy the Jews. And of course, Esther was a Jew. And Haman was close to the king, and he had developed this plan to destroy all the Jews. So as things happened, Esther's uncle, Mordecai, was in a position where he overheard the plan to destroy the Jews. And so he wanted to get word to his niece that we need to do something about this. You need to do something about this. And so Mordecai sent word to her to approach the king. Well, the problem was that there was a law in place that you didn't just, you know, went up to the king. You had to be chosen to come to him. And if you tried to present yourself before the king, you could lose your life for that. And so there was a little bit of fear involved. And so Mordecai encouraged his relative, the queen Esther, to go before the king, and she was afraid. And we'll pick it up in Esther 4:13 through 14. It says, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than any other Jew. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And the encouragement that I want to give to you today is that you have a reason, you have a purpose for such a time as this. Okay, you're here for a reason. We're here now not to just be locked away, but we still have purpose and we still have a mission, and I want to encourage you to pray about how to effectively do work for the kingdom in this time period. Okay, we are foreordained to be here at this last time, and we do have a purpose and a mission. So what is our purpose during this dark time? What should we be doing? Well, let's turn to Mark 13, our scripture for today. We'll start in verse 28, but I want to set this up a little bit. Mark 13, this portion of scripture in Mark 13 is the same as Matthew 24 and in other places in the Gospels. And this is the time when Jesus had told his disciples earlier in the day that the temple would be destroyed. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew later approached Jesus to ask about when that would happen and what would be the sign of his coming. And so Jesus spoke about this time as being great deception, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, plagues, and etc. And Matthew 24 is the same recording of this speech that Jesus gave to his disciples. But I want to focus specifically on chapter 13, verse 28 of Mark. Now we'll read the verses here. "Now learn this parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now, Jesus continues to provide us with two things to be doing when we see the times, the signs of the times. There's actually three things. The third one's a little bit more subtle. But Jesus goes on and he tells a short parable starting in verse 32, that same chapter. He says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man," he starts to tell a little parable here. He says, "It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch." Verse 35, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to you all, watch." So watching, we need to be watching in this time for the Lord's return. Again, we don't know the day or the hour. Now, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 4, he says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as with labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape." Notice, they shall not escape. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." You see, we might not know the day or the hour, but we can certainly know roughly the season. And I believe we are fully in that season before the coming of the Lord to gather us up to take us back to heaven with him. And so we need to be watching. Okay, number one, we need to be watching. Again, we don't know the exact day, so that's why we need to be looking down the railroad tracks, looking for that light coming down the tunnel, okay? So in addition to Jesus telling us to watch, he said that we need to be praying. So the first thing is watching, we need to be praying, and then we need to be working, okay? And so we'll get more into those three things here in a minute. Watching, praying, and working for the kingdom of God. Now, as far as watching goes, we do need to be alert for the second coming of the Lord. But we, the church, the bride of Christ, we need to be looking for the rapture, okay? And we need to always have an eye in the sky. You know, in other words, don't get so focused on what you're doing on in the world today. Know that the time is near. The Lord's ready. We need to be focused on the Lord, focused on his return for us, as well as praying and working. So watching, praying, and working. And we need to look forward to that time of his glorious appearing. Why? Because it's our finished redemption. Okay? It's complete. Our salvation will be complete at that moment. And yet, you know, we've been saved, but we're being saved, and we shall be saved. But at the rapture of the church, that's when we are, the final nail in the coffin, so to speak, is that when the rapture comes, it's done. We're saved. It's over. You know, we're with the King in the kingdom, in heaven. Now, Colossians 3:4 says this. It says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Jesus will come back in the atmosphere first, gather us up to himself, and then take us back to heaven, and we will be with him forever. This is called the harpazo in the Greek. It's our hope. It's the rapture. It's the appearing of Christ and not the second coming of Christ. And this is our salvation, redemption, and glorification. So that's something to really look forward to. It's no different than a bride watching and waiting for her husband to come pick her up to take her back to his house in the Jewish custom. Okay, so we need to be ready for this. We need to be looking for it. Now, 2 Timothy 4:8 says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. By just being watchful for the rapture and ready for his return, we're going to receive the crown of righteousness. That's just one of, I think, five crowns that we have the potential of receiving. And so we all, if you are watching actively, anticipating the Lord's return, any moment, you are going to receive the crown of righteousness. And it may be the only crown that I have, but I'll be glad to get it. And I'll be watching till he comes. Titus 2:13 says this, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, we're to be eagerly waiting for Jesus, excited, anticipating. And I've been in great anticipation the last months here as we've seen what's been happening to the entire world. And so I know, I believe with all my heart, these are signs leading up to the tribulation time. In fact, there's been prophecy guys that I've listened to, experts who have said that the closer we get to the tribulation, it'll look more and more like we're actually in it. But we know from what Paul teaches that the church hinders, or the Holy Spirit in the church hinders the Antichrist from coming to the forefront of history. So we know that the rapture has to take place. The restrainer must be moved out of the way for the Antichrist to come. And so if it appears as if we're in the tribulation right now and we're not, how much closer are we to the rapture of the church? It's at the door. We may not get finished with this little study. So I can't wait for it. I can't wait for my new body. I can't wait to shed this sinful nature. And I hope you're in that same place. So we need to be, again, as excited about Jesus coming for us as any bride would be for her husband. Now, Hebrews 9:28 says this, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So again, when he appears in the sky, he's not going to touch foot on the Mount of Olives when he comes back at the rapture. He's just going to poke his body into the atmosphere. He's going to say, come up here, and we're out of here. Okay? And that is our salvation. That's what we've all been hoping for. And it is our great hope. So we need to be eagerly waiting for him. We need to be ready. Okay? Just as he asked us to be ready, to be watching. Now, Jesus gave a stern warning to those who would not watch. And there are consequences for those who are not watching or ready. In Revelation 3, 1 through 3, it says, and to the angel of the church of Sardis, in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. If you're not watching, it's likely that your faith is dead or dying. Okay? Active faith, believing that Jesus Christ is going to come for us, looks and watches the circumstances that's going on in the world. If you're not watching, it's likely you're not working for the Lord either. And so I would challenge those who have stumbled upon this video that to begin to examine yourself if you're really working for the kingdom of God. You know, has your faith been active and alive? Have you been doing the works that God's called you to do? Now, if you are not watching, there's a consequence to not watching. Jesus said that if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. So that would mean or indicate that if you're not watching, you're going to be stuck in the tribulation hour, that seven-year period. Now, the last three and a half are really the great tribulation, but the whole entire 7 years is going to be the worst time on earth ever. Okay? You don't want to be left behind. You want to go in the rapture. You need to be watching for the Lord's return. Here's what Jesus said regarding that time period known as the tribulation. In Matthew 24, 21 through 22, Jesus said this, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So the worst thing that's ever happened on earth in history has been the flood. And there was only 8 survivors. Okay? The 7-year tribulation is going to be so much worse than that. It's going to be like Jesus said, it's going to be like no other time in past or future. It's going to be a horrific time. And there's no guarantee that you're going to get through the first event that takes place. So you need to be ready and watching for the Lord's return now. You need to be working for your King. Your faith needs to be active and alive. Okay? So let's go back to Mark 13:33, and I want to get this little snippet out of here as the third thing. So the first two things, again, watching and praying. Praying is the second thing. In verse 33, Jesus said, take heed, watch, and pray. Okay, now pray is a work. Prayer is a work. Okay, we need to be working. We need to be praying. Okay, during this time. So praying for what exactly? I mean, I'll be honest. There's so many things going on that I've been trying to put myself in a constant prayer situation as I'm going about the day. And there are so many things. It's like a flood coming. In fact, Jesus said it would be like a flood as these things come upon the world in these last days. And, you know, man, praying for friends, family, people that don't know Christ, you know, praying for our government to make the right decisions. And so there could be just constant prayer about all things. But let me give you an idea of what you could be praying for here. In Luke 6:27 through 31, Jesus speaking says, but I say to you, who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your toilet paper and chicken right out of your hand, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them. So you want to be praying about loving your enemies. And again, you know, I've heard stories of at the store, you know, at the local grocery store, where people, you know, get their mitts on the same item at the same time, and they're wrestling over it. And Christians shouldn't be doing this. We should be offering those things. As soon as you put your hands on that thing and somebody else grabs it, give it to them and bless them. God's going to take care of all your needs according to his riches and glory anyway. And if the rapture happened 3 minutes later, he's going to need the toilet paper more than you. All right? So love your enemies during this time. Pray about those who have become your enemies. And being in this situation of being locked under the same roof with your family, those enemies might be right under your own roof. So pray about how you might be able to love your enemies, okay? And of course, out in the world as well. Now, Paul says to rely on the Holy Spirit for what to pray for, especially in these times when it's so just overwhelming. He said in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We need to cry out to the Holy Spirit moment by moment, especially in this time, because there are so many things to pray for. We need to know exactly. We need to have an effective prayer life, and we need to be praying according to the power of the Holy Spirit. So lastly, on this topic of prayer, and this is a real quick study today, I want to go to Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And Paul writes, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Okay, being watchful, there it is again, to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So prayer for the saints. We need to be praying for one another. Okay, people are getting sick. You know, people are having diseases and stuff like that. They're getting in situations where they have needs. We need to be not only praying for one another in this church and the churches around us, but we need to be supplying their need as well. But going on from there, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So that's another thing we need to be praying for. The gospel still needs to get out. The reason why we're still here, the reason why the church is here, is to spread the gospel. Okay? You're part of the church. We are part of the church. And so our mission, our purpose, is to continue to do that until the Lord shows up in the sky or until he calls us home, whichever is first. Okay? So we need to be praying about that. Also, he goes on, he says, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul required and asked for prayer to be bold to speak this gospel forward. We all need that same boldness. We all have that little bit of fear when it comes to witnessing for Christ. You know, pray for yourselves, pray for each other, that we would be bold and courageous in this time as believers in Jesus Christ. And then he finally finishes, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see, Paul was sequestered as well. He was in chains, and yet that couldn't hold back the gospel. And our little situation going on, it's not so little, but our situation right now of being stuck in our homes is no excuse not to get the gospel out. There are still ways to do that. And the Holy Spirit, if you're praying correctly, if you're seeking him, he will show you ways that you can share the gospel. Some of you may have been speaking the gospel boldly for a long time, but you haven't been living it. Okay? It's time to live it. Some of you have been living it, okay, but now it's time to speak it. We're in the last hours, and so pray for boldness for yourself. Pray for boldness for me, for other believers in this church, to speak the gospel clearly and boldly, okay? Pray in the Spirit. Pray for believers. Pray for the gospel to get out. And the third thing that I want to talk about or pull out of that scripture, again, focusing on verse Mark 13:34, is to each his work. Jesus says, it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work. Each one of us, if we are still here, if we still have breath, we have a mission and a purpose, and we need to be about that work. We need to be praying how we might be effective for the kingdom of God in these last hours. So that's between you and God. I don't know what God's called you to do. I have enough problems with knowing what I'm supposed to do. So I've got to pray daily to find out and figure out what God wants me to do, how to be a witness, how to my neighbors. And unfortunately, I live ways away from any neighbor, but I got to figure it out. I got to be that witness. I've got to encounter people either at the store when we get a chance to get out or wherever. But there is work to be done, and I hope you are actively engaged with the Holy Spirit to figure out what that work that you're supposed to do, okay, to each his own work. We're not going home until the work's done. So we've got to get the work done. We all have assigned works to accomplish before Christ's appearing. We need to be watching, praying, and working for our King. Okay, let me remind you, we do not work for salvation, but because of it. Okay, that's the key thing to remember. We're already saved. We don't work for salvation. And for those that don't understand that, please call the church office and leave your phone number, and I'll get back to you and tell you all about that. But in Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Before the creation of the world, God had a plan for you and me, and there's works that he has assigned to us, and we need to be about those works. Just as he said to the church of Sardis, "Hey, your works are incomplete." Our works right now are incomplete. We need to be working actively in the power of the Spirit to finish the works before the King comes. We were created to do good works. Now, I don't know, again, what exactly works you're to do. You need to seek God your own for your own self in those regards. But in these last days, we need to be watching, we need to be anticipating Jesus' appearing, and we need to be praying constantly, continuously in the Spirit. We need to be doing good works whenever we can, as a witness and a testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, the last verse regarding this whole thing, and then we'll get into the communion here in a little bit, is 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We need to be abounding in that work. We need to keep working, keep witnessing, keep doing, keep loving each other, loving our enemies. Okay, that's what we need to be doing. And there are specific tasks that God has called each one of us to do. We need to be attentive to what he's called us to do. Be in continuous prayer, always seeking him about what we need to do for his kingdom so that we can wrap this thing up. Okay? Now, we may be forced to be self-quarantined or maintain social distancing, but we can still be effectively working for the King. Figure out ways. Think about ways. Ask the Holy Spirit, how in these situations, how can I possibly be working for you? Show me exactly what it is you want me to do, and I'll do it. That's the right attitude, okay? Here's the deal. As I started out with the words from Mordecai, he says, again, to his niece, that basically, you're still here for such a time as this. Okay, we need to be taking every opportunity we can to be working for the Lord, for praying, and doing what he's called us to do. Amen? All right, let's pray for this past study. Father, I thank you for this time. I ask you, Father, that you would just really help us to focus on you in this time. that we would be watching, that we would be prayerful, and that we would be working to accomplish everything that you've asked us to do. Help us to be attentive to that. Help us to be paying attention to our circumstances and surroundings, that we might be useful for your kingdom, Lord. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. All right. So today, again, is the first Sunday of the month, and we're going to try to take part in communion here. I like to keep this short and sweet. If you need to pause the video at this time, please do so and get your bread and juice, and come on back, and we'll get to it. But I really want to keep this simple. Okay, I don't want to overcomplicate this too much. And there's two things. In Luke 22:19, Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." The point here is that when we take part in this communion, there's no weird or miraculous thing that happens. It's just a memorial of remembering what Christ went through for each one of us and for all of us corporately. Okay, it's vital that we remember this, and even daily, and I'm sure most of you do, but you can do this at home, by the way, as well, in the privacy of your own home. You don't need to do it here at church. You know, in fact, there's times when I've done it on a fire assignment. I've stolen away and taken opportunities to have communion with the Lord. And so, you know, there's no real hard and fast rules regarding this, but it's just a memorial, a time to remember exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. Okay? So remember that, and remember what he did. It's good and needful to remember exactly what he did for us, to keep it fresh, to keep our relationship fresh. That's what this is about as well. We want to not have anything between us and the Lord at any point. We want to be in a perfect relationship with the Lord, and this is one way we can do it. Now, the other aspect, and of course the gospel, and I want to preach the gospel here to you, because this is the great news. This is what Jesus did for each one of us. And Paul wrote it down for us in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are also saved." Notice the past tense. "If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Old Testament, to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day," again, according to the Old Testament, all right, to the Scriptures. Okay, that's what we need to remember. But it's even deeper than that. We have this cracker that we look at here that it looks like it's bruised. It's been burnt a little bit. It's discolored. Jesus Christ was punished for our sakes. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was pierced. He was nailed to the cross. That's what the bread represents. Okay? And that's what he did for us, is he went for each one of us. And, you know, the scriptures say that he looked forward to this. Not so much the pain and the misery and the separation on the cross, but what it would achieve for his family, for those who would believe in him. And so this gospel that Paul preaches is that you must believe that he died for your sins, that he was buried, and on the third day he was resurrected, according to the scriptures, according to his own words. He knew it was going to happen, and he willfully laid down his life for each one of us. Okay? So you must believe that. In other words, trust it. Trust his words. That's how we got into this mess in the beginning. Adam and Eve didn't trust God at his word. His word declares from Jesus' own mouth that he was going to die for us. Okay? That he would lay down his life for his friends. And he calls us friends. That's amazing. But in addition to that, he also calls us children. And I look forward to that day. But you must believe this. Okay? So, let's hold the bread before him right now. Lord Jesus, we just praise you and thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And it goes even beyond the cross, Lord God, the way you've taken care of each one of us so well. And Father, we just pray that you would just bless this bread to our bodies now. And we pray, Father, that you would use this time to cause us to draw closer to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake. Now, I messed up there. The second thing that Jesus said that we need to do before communion is that we need to examine our hearts, and you still have an opportunity to do that. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." In other words, die. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." All right? There's an examination process anytime we do this, and I apologize for making that mistake, but you can still do it. You can pause the tape. Think about some of the activities you may have been involved with recently that wasn't necessarily a good thing, and confess and repent those things to the Lord. He is ready, willing, and able to take care of that situation and put it away as far as the east is from the west. Think about things, how you've responded in these dark times, maybe fearfully. You've responded fearfully or selfishly in the past weeks or months. Lay that down at the altar. Put it on the cross. Give it to Jesus right now. And let his blood cleanse you from that. So let's pray with the blood. Father God, we just thank you again for sending your son Jesus. Jesus, we thank you so much for allowing your blood shed for each one of us, which not only, it doesn't cover our sins, it removes them completely. And we are so thankful for that. And we have a fresh start starting right now on this day. May we all walk according to your Holy Spirit, according to your ways, loving our enemies and loving you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Jesus' name, let's partake. Now, one last verse I want to share with you, and it's one that Tony shares with you a lot, and it's 1 John 1:9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And you can have confidence right now that if you've examined your heart and you've celebrated in this and you are, trusting in what Christ accomplished for each one of us on the cross, you've been forgiven. You've been cleansed of all unrighteousness. You have a fresh start today. May you use it for his glory and honor. May you be watching for his return. May you be praying in the Spirit, and may you do the works you're assigned to do. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again so much for all that you've done and are doing. Help us to be again attentive. Cause us in our hearts to hunger to do your will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Till you come, Lord. Have a blessed week, and God bless you. May we see you in the air too soon.